Our scripture for this morning comes from the fourth chapter of John, beginning with the first verse, concluding with the 15th verse. We have come to know it as a story of the Samaritan woman that Jesus met at the well. Hear these words, and may they speak to you. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard, Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized. He left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today, as we begin our last sermon in this series, How I Met Your Jesus, How I Met Your Jesus, I want to pause just for a little hope note. I don't know about you guys, but I was sitting there watching the video of our seniors. And I don't know if there are any moms or grandpas in here, but tears just wet. Tracy, she's here. Don't it just make your heart well up with tears? I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my God, our babies are gone. They're grown up, you know. And I've only known them since July 2013, you know. But it just touched my heart seeing all of those, what I just call wonderfully gifted Highland Hopers. So it just touched my heart. And I'm so glad that next service we will have opportunity to give God thanks for them. And I wanted to take a moment to thank all of you guys who came out in the rain to have a motorcycle blessing. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Thank you for coming out in the rain. Amen. We had a wonderful time. We ended up with 12 motorcycles, which were 12 more than we expected to have in the rain. Amen. But it was a great time. And what was so much fun, CJ kept saying in the midst of the weather, she said, "Pastor Bev, no matter what the weather does, when Highland Hope gets together, there will be a party." So we did have a party, and matter of fact, some of those folks will be on the grill today cooking for us for the dinner that we will have in honor of our seniors later today. But thank you. And Lynn, he's such an encourager. He's saying that, "Pastor Bev, don't give up. We're going to do it again next year. We got to get the devil running." Amen. So we thank you all for coming out and being such a source of blessing for us. Now, this sermon, this last one of How I Met Your Jesus, is called Hiding in the Light. And on this Trinity Sunday, as we think about who God is, That has always confounded us, the rest of the world, because us Christians, we believe in a triune God. We believe in God as the Father. We believe in God as the Son and God as the Holy Spirit. We believe that God the Father is not the Son. God the Son is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not God the Father. But the three are God in one with three different natures. Because of who God is, God cares for the whole human race through the divinity of Christ, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and God our Father, who is the creator of all things. Now, when we say God is the creator of all things, you can bring my clicker back now. Thank you. My guys are so on top of it, I tell you. The creator of all things, it reminds us that we are but stewards of this thing called life. And sometimes in the midst of this thing called life, life can get tough and life can get hard. And sometimes we find ourselves in that place where we're ready to give up on life. And in that moment, that's when we need to remember Jesus, the gift of who Jesus is. Jesus and his mission. The life and ministry of Jesus demonstrates the radical hospitality of God. In this Bible story, you find Jesus reaching out and bringing spiritual and emotional healing to those who had experienced exclusion because of their ethnic and religious differences. Jesus takes an unnecessary detour through the region of Samaria, and I want you to hear the words that the Bible says Jesus had to go to Samaria. Now, he didn't have to go because of the geography. He had to go because he was on mission. He could have gone another way. If he had his GPS, he would have chosen a better way to get into his destination of Galilee. But the Bible said Jesus had to go to Samaria because somebody in Samaria needed to experience Jesus on that day. So Jesus takes this unnecessary detour through the region of Samaria, which is something that no respecting rabbi would have ordinarily done. But Jesus did it. You see, Samaritans were outcasts. They were considered unclean, and they were despised by the Judean neighbors, because their ancestors had intermarried with other people. And even worse, they worshiped God on Mount Gerizim rather than at the temple in Jerusalem. So once again, we discover that Jesus was not afraid to push up against socially acceptable norms that dehumanized people. Jesus had to go to Samaria because somebody in Samaria needed him on that day. In this story, Jesus spoke openly in public with a woman who was not related to him, and that was a no-no. In this story, Jesus speaks to a woman who had a terrible reputation. She had had five husbands, and Jesus reminded her that the husband she had was not her own. Jesus spoke to a woman that most rabbis would have found uncomfortable to even pass by. This woman is part of the mission of Jesus Christ. And what we need to know about her story today is this. Jesus meets this woman where she is. He meets her on her turf. He meets her in
her neighborhood. He meets her amid the circumstances of her life. Jesus meets this woman in the heat of the day, a time of day whereby she should have been at home. The Bible tells her that Jesus met her at noonday. She has come to draw water at noonday. Now, all of the other women would have come early in the morning before the sun was at its hottest. But because she was the subject of the village women's gossip, this woman, because she was shunned and shut out from her community, because she was isolated and left wounded, she was not able to go to the well in the early morning. She had to go when nobody else was there. Now, think about this woman. Yes, she had five husbands, but understand her woundedness comes not so much from her. Step into her shoes for a moment. This was a woman in Jesus' day, which means that this woman would not have been the decision maker as to when or who she would marry. What it means when it says that this woman had five husbands, that means that her parents, her family members, gave her to a husband. She went with that husband, and that husband returned her to her family. Because women couldn't get divorced. The men could, but the women couldn't. So this woman has been sent out from her family, not once and returned, not twice, not three times, not four, but she has been sent out five times or more and returned every time. This is a broken woman. And so you know what happens when you're broken? People like to step on you when you're broken. People like to say, well, if you're hurting, feel this, you know. So it wasn't enough that she had the embarrassment of being returned to her parents, not once, but five times. The other people talked about her. Must be something wrong with her. Man, she can't get a husband that will honor her and keep her. What it really means is that she probably was a woman who could not bear children. And that was painful enough. But then to become the gossip of everybody in her community was more than she could bear. So she took to the heat of the day. And Jesus, knowing that there was somebody in Samaria that needed to hear from him on that day, Jesus went to Samaria and sat by the well so that he could meet a wounded woman. A woman whose life was messed up. Jesus took a detour. Jesus broke all the social graces. Jesus met this woman right where she was, hiding in the bright heat of hot noonday sun. And I want to tell you something. Jesus will meet you today right where you are. The seasons of our lives are so fleeting. You know, these are the seasons of our lives. We encounter life. It shows up. We get to be about 6 months old. We start to realize we got some control of the adults around. Look at you over there wrestling with Mag Ray. Mag Ray's in charge, you know. But these are the seasons of our lives. We enter into this life. And then we have all of these people around us who are loving us and caring for us. And we grow up and we discover sisters and brothers and we play in the sandboxes of life. And we keep on growing up. And then one day, you know, we get old enough, we get to that strange age where we're fighting with our sisters and brothers. And next thing you know, we're loving our sisters and brothers and can't imagine not having them around all the time. We go through all of these seasons of life, and kids don't understand it, but they don't last but for a moment. And we don't know how it happened, but we look up one day, and those few little moments have turned into 25 years of marriage. We look up and it's turned into 50 years of marriage, and we start to ask ourselves, where did time go? Time gets away from us, and in the midst of that time, we will have ups and we will have downs. We will have struggles and challenges. There'll be times that we will have sores in our lives. We will go through love and we will go through loss. We will go through grief and death events that will almost undo us. But what we need to know is that wherever we are, Jesus will meet us there, right where we are. Here's the good news for us, my friends. We can't get so low that Jesus won't reach down and pick us up. We can't get so prideful and so high that Jesus won't reach up and bring us back down to the sobriety of just being human. God will meet you where you are. The only thing he asks of you is to be willing to receive the gift. So the woman said, she came with her bucket of water. Notice she's at the well. Jesus is thirsty from his walk, so it's hot. And he doesn't have a bucket. Can I tell you something? The woman came to the well prepared to draw water. Are you prepared? She didn't know it was going to be living water, but she came. And she was prepared. She had a rope, she had a bucket, and she had an open heart. And because she was ready, Jesus stopped by and he poured living water into her life. And can I just tell you, she was never the same again. And she took that living water and she showered all of those who had made her the left behind, the broken, the subject of gossip. She got the best gift of all and she wanted to give it to everybody. I pray on this wonderful day that you are ready to have your bucket filled up with living water. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. As Eric comes to lead us in this last song, perhaps you have, this is the friend playing time, a friend, a relative, a neighbor, acquaintance, and you know that their bucket is on empty. I invite you to come to the altar. Remember them by name before your God. Whisper a prayer on their behalf. Somebody has an empty bucket today. They need their buckets filled up. Dear Lord, as we prepare for this last song, let all of us, though we've gathered in this place, we may be thirsty ourselves, rain down from heaven drops of living water, that we might leave this place with our buckets filled up and ready to invest in somebody else's journey whose bucket is waning today. It's almost dried up. Give us enough to share. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.